Cap D coming.
John Clayton joins us every Thursday, this time sponsored by Anna John and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. He joins us in the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
So tonight's a big night for you, right? I'm guessing that you're going to be roaming the sidelines there, Seahawks and Packers, yes?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems like this is somewhat of an elimination game, okay? We're past the midway point of the season, and you really can't be under 500 anymore if you're going to make the playoffs.
100%, yeah, for either team. And I think we're going to see a lot of that this whole weekend because, you know, you're at that stage where you get that fifth or sixth loss. You don't know for sure if you're going to be a wild card, if it's going to go down to nine. But if you have to get to 10, I mean, you can't lose games like this. And so for both teams, they've both been struggling. Seattle just ended up in good games, but losses that they lost to two better teams. And, of course, Green Bay at 4-4-1. I mean, this is vital. They've got winner of this game has a chance. The loser, they're out.
John, last week we saw Aaron Rodgers not exactly have the best game of his career, but we also saw some Aaron Jones work. Do you think that this week they're going to try to get Aaron back on track, or Aaron Rodgers, that is, or is Jones going to continue to evolve as their big-time runner?
Well, I think they're going to try to run. Seattle is spotty as far as being able to stop the run. You know, they have some good run stoppers, but they've just gone through a stretch where they've taken on Melvin Gordon. They've taken on Todd Gurley. They've faced some of the top running backs in the league. But, you know, you tend to kind of think that the way Mike McCarthy still kind of likes to pass, and you have Aaron Rodgers going against Russell Wilson, you know, I think they'll try to run the ball, not as much as Seattle, because Seattle's a pure running team now, trying to get 30, 35 running plays a game. But I think they'll try to do it. We'll see on the road. Because that's the one thing I think is going to be so different now, is that, the difficulty of being a road team. You know, here comes the Packers. They're 0-4 on the road. Teams that are playing on Thursday night are 2-8 on the road, and then sometimes trying to run on the road is not the easiest thing in the world.
What's been the mood there in Seattle with the Seahawks this year? Like, what's Pete Carroll's current standing right now? Because obviously they made a lot of changes, they made some difficult decisions in the offseason, and is there going to be some patience up there?
Yeah, I think there will be, because you can see that the reset, and this is what they pretty well called it, a reset, because the Legion of Boom is gone. They've made a lot of changes. You know, 20-some new players on the team. They've gone from 8 Pro Bowl starters on defense to 2, and one's going to miss the game. He's missed pretty much most of the season in K.J. Wright. But I think it's gone better than anybody thought, because when you start to look at some of the young players, they're actually pretty good. I mean, they've done a nice job getting a good young secondary. The defensive line still lacks a pass rush other than, say, Frank Clark, but they're better than expected because Jaron Reed, former Alabama players, come on. And then on offense, I mean, they've totally changed the personality of the team by being a physical, aggressive type of running team. You know, they have DJ Fluker and J.R. Sweezy, and they just like to pound people, punch people in the mouth. I mean, you just saw the game last week against the Rams. I mean, it got so crazy that after the first series, they got into Aaron Donald's head. And so what they had to do is take Aaron Donald out of the game for one possession because he was so upset with the physical nature of what was going on the line that they had to get his head right. And then he came back and he got 2.5 sacks.
Let's talk about one of the bigger stories of the week, and that's Le'Veon Bell, who we all now know is not going to play football this year. Do you think there was, like, what do you think Le'Veon Bell's plan was from the get-go, okay? Do you think there was ever a chance that he was going to sign that franchise tag and play coming back after week 10? Or, you know, do you think that he always felt the whole time, unless something drastically changes, I'm never going to show up this year?
Yeah, again, I mean, whatever strategy it was silly. It was dumb because, again, how do you think he's going to ever recoup the $14.5 million that he lost? I think that everything that he's done in this case has been flawed. I mean, for example, he didn't even know, and his agent apparently know the rules applying to being able to get that extra year in the league. For example, he did not know that by missing the 6 games and not being able to play this year, you know, he loses the chance now to at least advance to the franchise tag because technically they can put the same franchise tag on him. It'll be a little bit more, or they can put a transition tag on him at $9 million, where had he come in and played the 6 games, it would have to be a 20% raise. He didn't know that rule. And what happened was that they were starting to get to the point where he was going to come back. And then they got into another disagreement because what the Steelers were going to do was have him on the exempt list for 2 weeks and not pay him. So his six games would have been four game checks, and that angered him. So now he goes into free agency next year if they don't put the transition tag on him. And what will end up happening is that they'll probably have to end up going to a team that he probably doesn't want to go to, because unless, say, Houston or Philadelphia step up, then he's probably going to have to go to a losing team like Tampa Bay, maybe Oakland, maybe the New York Jets.
So he wants to be a free agent next year, but that's only going to depend on what the Steelers decide to do. They control that. So why would or wouldn't the Steelers place one of the tags on him?
The only reason they wouldn't place a transition tag on him, if they pull, because ultimately what they're looking for is a draft choice. And if everybody knows they're not going to match the offer, so they may not be able to negotiate any kind of a draft choice, and then they would lose the ability to get a compensatory pick, which would be a third rounder in 2020. That would be the only reason that they don't put any kind of tag on him. They did want him back this year. They wanted him to be available for the final four games, but again, now it's a matter, it's like you just kind of move on. They realized if he came back, it was going to be a mess in the locker room, because the offensive linemen were disappointed at the didn't go there. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger texted him a couple hours before the deadline, and he wouldn't even respond to Ben. So, again, it's a bad relationship. You saw yesterday they went in the locker room. They took away his name tag. They took all his shoes and started giving them away. I mean, bad, bad situation. But, again, this is what Le'Veon dealt, and this is the bad move that he made.
What do you make of that, Brett?
But par for the course. Same thing happened, not necessarily in angst, when we were in St. Louis, when Marshall decided to go ahead and do TV. They kept him on the roster. They kept the roster
right.
spot. They kept
right.
his locker.
Yeah.
But, you know, Marshall was doing TV.
But he was also hurt.
Yeah, well, I think he had a nice little agreement with the Rams and the ownership and stuff like that. So they allowed him to do that freedom. John, I'm kind of interested to find out your take on Ben Roethlisberger. Is the reason why he's playing better the fact that maybe he's not having to share that limelight or the spotlight with Le'Veon Bell and a guy like Connor, who's a quiet, if you want to call him a rookie, you can call him that in terms of the offense. But is him being the head honcho once again making him play a little bit better?
No, I think what it is that the change in offensive coordinators makes him feel more comfortable, because one thing when Todd Haley was there, and they kind of battled at different times, Todd wanted it done his way. So much so that Ben Roethlisberger, I think, was, 17 of 18 on quarterback sneaks at the goal line. And he wasn't allowed to audible, even though he's 17 of 18. If he wanted to audible, that was not permitted. Now he's got a new offensive coordinator that basically comes in on Tuesday. They'll sit there and say, okay, so what do you want to do, Ben? And so Ben has more of a voice in the offense, and I think he likes that. The other thing is having a tight end, because he really hasn't had a great tight end since Heath Miller was there. And so now, in Vance McDonald, he's got a tight end that he likes and trusts, and I think that goes. This is the most comfortable I've seen Ben Roethlisberger play. And I think that comfort level is the reason, more so than not having Le'Veon Bell and then going with James Conner.
John, the Patriots or the field come out of the AFC this year?
I'd say right now you're looking at Kansas City or the Chargers or the Steelers, because I think you're starting to see some flaws right now in the Patriots. Again, you can never write them off. But I think you can see that in the last couple of weeks, you see some age starting to come in with Tom Brady. Some of the throws that he normally can connect on, he's not connecting on. I think you can see that they're spotty on defense because they don't have a lot of playmakers. You never write off the Patriots because, again, they've had such a great run.
But you're going now, the field, though. You're going the field.
Yeah, I'm going the field. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I wasn't that way before because I thought it was going to be the Patriots or the Chiefs. But now I'm going with the field because I'm starting to see some flaws in the Patriots that make me concerned. Because, you know, if they're going to get the number one seed, which, of course, they usually do, then nobody's going to go into Foxborough and beat them. But I'm getting the feeling right now that they may not be the number one seed.
And what kind of excuse does Atlanta have after losing to Cleveland? And do you think they could bounce back?
I think it's going to be tough to bounce back because they're sitting at five losses right now. And that was just a devastating loss. I mean, that to me, inexplicable. Because how do you lose to Cleveland? I know it's a road game. You have Matt Ryan playing at an MVP-type level. But to lose to Cleveland like that was inexcusable. So something's amiss with that team, and it's been that way all season.
What do you think Matt Ryan's career would look like? What would we say about Matt Ryan if he didn't win the MVP that year and have the Super Bowl appearance? Like, how would we view Matt Ryan's career at this point?
I think very positively, because he's had a great career. He's been to one Super Bowl. Of course, that the loss was, I think, more play calling than anything else, because, I mean, two dumb calls by Kyle Shanahan that really cost him on that last drive that could have clinched the game. But I still think he's had a great career because, you know, he's statistically always up there. He's usually had the team, with a couple exceptions, in the playoff run. And so, I mean, the guy's a great quarterback. But again, you know, the way it goes, you only have one team win a Super Bowl and another team that goes to the Super Bowl every year.
John, speaking of quarterbacks and their coaches, we saw Aaron Rodgers come to midfield with Bill Belichick a couple weeks ago. And we saw, you know, the amount of respect and saying that you're the greatest. And
no, you're the greatest.
Going
no, you're
back
the greatest.
And forth. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers would be just as decorated as a guy like Tom Brady if he had Bill Belichick
oh
as
my
his
God.
Coach?
Well, and better yet, would they have won more or less?
Well, they would have won more because, I mean, Bill Belichick would have found ways to – because, again, you're looking at one of the successes that Bill has is having Tom Brady. Well, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best you can ever imagine. I mean, for the last 7, 8, 9 years, it's either been Brady or Aaron Rodgers who's the best, and you're trying to make the judgment every year. So, yeah, I would have to think. And that's one of the disappointments, I think, in Green Bay right now, the fact that Aaron Rodgers has been there and they've only won one Super Bowl. In fact, I know if the Packers don't make the playoffs, I think there's going to be a change in coaching, surprisingly. I think that they're going to move on from Mike McCarthy. He'll end up in Cleveland, or so he'll have like 3, 4, 5 job offers immediately because everybody's looking for offensive play-calling head coaches. But, no, if he had Bill Belichick, there'd be more rings in his finger.
John Clayton just said Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady.
No, Tom Brady's the best ever.
Okay.
Well, because I was wondering, if you look at it, we wanted Tom Brady in the Hall of Fame now. Like, I wanted him to be the first player to ever continually play but also be in the Hall of Fame at the same time. But does that hinder a guy like Aaron Rodgers in terms of his Hall of Fame ballots and getting in, is the fact that he really only got one?
No.
I mean, because, again, I mean, you're judged for being in the best in your era. Now, the debate always comes down, how many in that one era can you take? Is it going to be 7? Is it going to be 8? But, I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
What about Philip Rivers, John? Is Philip Rivers Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it may be borderline, but even though he's not been to a Super Bowl, you look at his numbers, you look at the way that he's played for a long period of time. You know, it may not be first ballot, but I think he makes it.
What about Eli Manning?
Debatable. I think that ultimately, I think he will because of the name recognition and 2 Super Bowls, 9 playoff wins. But, you know, it's not going to be first ballot for Eli.
John, we'll put you on hold here. We'll take some questions for you and continue this thing, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, hang on. John Clayton, again, he joins us every Thursday this time. It's the only time and place you could ask him questions yourself. You could text in 67974. We'll get your questions in on the NunezLaw.com text line. More with John Clayton next. All right, John Clayton joins us every Thursday at this time. We loved having him aboard. We love talking football with him. Week 11 gets going tonight with the Packers and Seahawks. That feels like a good one. Your best guess, John, where Le'Veon Bell ends up next year, and is he going to get the money that he wants?
I don't think he's going to get the money that he wants because, again, I think what he's going to have to do if he gets a winning team, he's going to have to take a little bit of a sacrifice. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets like $13 million a year as opposed to the $17 that he wants. Again, I think the key for him is finding a good team, and that's why I think maybe Houston or Philadelphia could be that team. But I would have to think that from what I hear, I don't know for sure, I don't think he wants to go to the Jets, and I don't think he wants to go to teams like Oakland or Tampa Bay. Maybe Tampa Bay could appeal to him, but I think that you know, he'll probably get 14 to 15 if he goes to one of the losing teams, but I think he might have to take a little bit less to go to a winning team.
Now, why doesn't he want to go to one of those teams? Is it because they're losers right now?
Well, because I don't think let's put it this way. I don't trust any decision that he makes based on the way he's handled things, but what I gather is that he's going to be picky about the team that he goes to. For example, I mean, he was worried about getting 400 touches and how that was going to wear down his body for free agency. Now to go to a losing team, I think that he thinks that'll use up his body even more and not get the gains that he wants. And so, again, I don't think I've seen a player that has worse judgment than him. I just am baffled at the way that he's handled this because, again, he's never going to be able to recoup the money that he has, and he's going to have certain teams right now kind of wondering, does he really care about football? Because he certainly didn't care about being on a Steeler team where he was one of the stars and had a chance to go every year to be going for the Super Bowl.
Now, even if he doesn't get the money that he wants or that he thinks that he could get, is he going to get significantly more than whatever Pittsburgh offered him so that he at least looks good for not taking that contract?
No, because, I mean, they offered him $14 million, and, you know, he might get a little bit more, but not to the point where he's going to make up the money. You see, it just, Because, for example, I mean, the one strategy he took a couple of years ago is that because he caught the football, that he wanted to be paid like a receiver and wanted to get the $17 million that Antonio Brown was able to receive. And, of course, that's just silly to think about it. I mean, a running back's not a wide receiver. You're not in the same boat as far as being able to get that kind of demand. And so that was all wrong. And then, of course, when he got the offer this year of 14-plus, then he didn't like the fact that it didn't have any guarantees. Well, he was the one holding out, and so, you know, he wants everything. And the problem is, unless you have the ability to negotiate that with the team, you're not going to get everything. And right now, he's got nothing.
John, turning to the text line, the NunezLaw.com text line, some texts here for you. When do you think the Giants will pull the trigger on benching Eli?
I think I'm going to stay with him most of the rest of the season because I don't think there's really anything to go to. If they do make a change, it would probably be in the final 2 weeks of the season. I think what they want to do is Pat Shurmur not lose the team itself. But again, when you're this bad, at some point players are going to start checking out, and particularly too with so many teams that are so bad, you're going to see a bunch of that. But I think they'll stay with him maybe at least through week 16.
Do you expect a regression for Pat Mahomes in year two, and what's your ceiling for him?
I thought there was going to be a regression, but I'm wrong. I mean, because what I looked at and of course, this is year two. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about next year, I don't
think they're
see
probably referring to next year. Yeah,
yeah, I don't see a regression in him right now. I think he's that good. Now, is he going to put up the numbers he's putting up this year? I tend to doubt it. I mean, I can't imagine. You know, he's not going to be throwing 50 touchdown passes a year, every year. I mean, we saw the 48 from Dan Marino, and that, you know, he wasn't able to do that. So, I mean, somebody will start figure something out to take away the touchdowns, but the regression in him, I don't see it. Again, he is just fantastic.
Texter asks, what are your thoughts on the Bears' offense and the Bears' schedule for the rest of the season?
Schedule's easy. They're in pretty good shape right now. I'm stunned that they're able to score as many points as they are, even though Mitch Trubisky is not the most accurate quarterback. They have a scheme right now that's really working so well. And you look at the schedule, I mean, they very well can make it just on the schedule itself. And again, one of the keys was the fact that Detroit now is so bad, because this I thought was going to be an impossible stretch, because here you have Mitch Trubisky going with 3 games in 12 days, all in the division. Now, of course, they've got the Bears coming up on Sunday night, or the Vikings on Sunday night. That's going to be a tough game. But, you know, they had two games against the Lions, and they were able to handle the first Lion game at home. Now they have to go to the Lions on Thanksgiving, and if they can win that game, they're going to be in great shape.
When will Garrett's career in Dallas come to an end?
Never.
Thank you, Jerry Jones. I mean, he'll keep saying it never's going to end, but I think it's going to end at the end of the year. I think that they will replace, unless he gets in the playoffs. If he gets in the playoffs, there'll be no change. But I don't see the Cowboys making the playoffs. And that's the case, I think they're going to be looking for a new coach after the season.
And finally, a texter would like to know if you eat the whole muffin or just the top part, John.
The whole muffin. I mean, it's like I'm not into waste. I mean, it's like if you're going to have the muffin and you want to order the muffin, you got to eat the whole muffin.
But the top is the best. Like, if you had to choose, if you were only a little bit hungry, you would start with the top, right?
Right, exactly. You just give it. If you didn't want the muffin, then you go for something else. But again, you have to eat the whole muffin.
Yeah, I hear you. Finally here, John, Monday Night Football was moved from Mexico City to Los Angeles. The field is very poor. Who's to blame here? Like who dropped the ball? What happened?
You have to blame the city, because I think the fact that, you have to plan things so you realize what you have. And to put a concert on there a month beforehand, have things ripped up, and then have that many soccer games on there, I have to put Mexico City in the blame on this, because you're the host. You've got to make sure that you have a safe field. And you look at how bad that field was. I mean, my only criticism with the league is the fact that they waited this late to be able to call the game. Because, I mean, having just been with the Rams, and I'm going to go see the Rams again this week, is that they went through torture with what was going on with the fires. I mean, 75 to 100 people that worked for the Rams had to be evacuated. And now they're all in Colorado trying to at least adjust to a game now that they don't have to adjust to the altitude. And to put them through that, in addition to it, they should have decided last week that this game could have happened. Because, again, you look at the field, it was a no-brainer. You cannot play on that field.
You're right. That sounds like a bad job by the NFL there, John. John, excellent job. Enjoy the game tonight. It's probably going to be a good one, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.